You know, these are three things there. I have built. Is this not the great Babylon that I have built from men? By my mighty power, by men. For the honor of my majesty to men. From men, by men, to men. The moment he said that, in verse 31, the voice from heaven came and cut him down. Why should verse 31 suddenly take place? Because there's an eschatological truth here that the spirit of the Antichrist will manifest in the spirit of Babylon. From men to men, from men by men to men, and then God will manifest. Do you know there are several times that God has manifested like that? Remember in the book of Acts, when Herod began to take the honor, an angel came and slew him in the book of Acts. And he was eaten by worms, the Bible tells us. And all the glory must go to God. In Him we live and move and have our being. Now, as you understand clearly, I've given you all these verses, I could give you more, to show you that the spirit of Babylon and the revised Roman Empire are linked. Just as the head is linked to the 10 toes, so the Babylonian Empire and the revised Roman Empire are both spiritual typology of one another. They are related, which is why in the book of Revelations, chapter 17, it's not just a revelation of the Roman Empire. The book of Revelation 17, we have mentioned, is a manifestation of the entire world's kingdom. It was the kingdom of man versus the kingdom of God. Remember what happened to the statue in the book of Daniel chapter 2. A big stone came and knocked the statue at the feet. Why? Because the stone, which represents the kingdom of God and the coming of Jesus Christ, He will manifest and come in the time of the 10 toes, which is where the Antichrist will be ruling with the 10 toes after he defeats 3 of them. See, the timing is significant. And the stone grew and overcame the whole earth. That is the millennium taking place. So you can see why it's more sound theologically in Revelation chapter 17. To understand that when he describes the woman, and even when we talk about the heels, even though we know Rome has its 7 heels, to realize that it's not just talking about the Roman Empire, like some scholars claim. And the 7 kings are not just talking about the Roman Caesars. We mentioned last week what the 7 kings represent. They represent all the kingdoms that have ruled over Israel. And all of them we have listed. The first one we have mentioned was the Egyptian kingdom. Second was the Assyrian. Then the third was the Babylonian. The fourth was the Medo-Persian. The fifth was the Greek. The sixth was the Roman Empire. The seventh is the revised Roman Empire. The eighth is the Antichrist. And the seven and the eight are related. So the seven is the Babylonian Empire. The eight is the Assyrian. And the seven and the eight are related in the last days. That is the revelation of Nahum and Habakkuk. So in Nahum, it gives you the Assyrian, the 8 kingdom. In Habakkuk, it gives you the 7, the Babylonian kingdom. And it describes it. Now, with all this background, we look at Mr. Habakkuk there. Back here, chapter 1 of Habakkuk. You see how it's important that we understand the eschatological application. Having seen how from verse 5 and 6, when it talks about the rising, that Habakkuk's eschatological prophecy points to the coming of the 10 toes, the spirit of Babylon. That there's a time coming when the Chaldeans will rise forth. And many realize here, here's where the timing is important.
You see, the rapture, once it takes place, since I lean towards the pre-tribulation view, the rapture will take place before the tribulation. And after the rapture, there will be 7 years. At the end of 7 years, Jesus will come and land on the Mount of Olives, like Zechariah predicts. So there is a gap of 7 years between the rapture and the second coming to Israel. And we know that immediately after the rapture, Antichrist reigns. So we do know that before the rapture, Antichrist would have already been in existence, but not manifested. And then we also know that since Antichrist represents the Assyrian, and the Babylonian Empire represents the Revised Roman Empire, we could safely conclude that we would see the rise of the Revised Roman Empire, but we may not see the rise of the Antichrist, which takes place at the rapture, after the rapture. So the Church of Jesus Christ will see the rise of the ten horns, which will take place before the rapture. Immediately after rapture, the Assyrian will manifest. Now when the ten horns rise, the Church of Jesus Christ will also be asking the same question that Habakkuk asked. Why, O Lord? Remember that the last days are going to be powerful days, but they are also perilous times. Both evil and good will have a confrontation. The Church of Jesus Christ will be filled with an infusion of the last day anointing. But at the same time, the spirit of Antichrist will be infusing evil. So it's a divine encounter that's going to take place. The good are going to be better. The evil are going to be worse. And that is why Paul predicts the two things taking place. Well, on one side he predicts revival, on the other side he predicts the wickedness of man growing more. And while all these things are taking place, the Church sees the rise of the revised Roman Empire, the ten horns. And we in the Church age are going to ask, like Habakkuk, Lord, what's happening? What's happening? And do you notice in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 7, verse 17 and 18, it says, these great beasts which are four kings which arise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High shall receive their kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then in verse 22, after the rise of the Assyrian, the single horn, I was watching and the same horn was making war against the saints. And what? Prevailing against them. Now we know that verse 21 and 22 speaks about the great tribulation era, which is within the 7 year period, which are not what we see. But yet, although we don't go through the great tribulation, Jesus did say, in the world you shall have tribulation. So we do know that even though we do not see the great tribulation that takes place in the last week of Daniel, yet we do know, just like Paul encountered, there is tribulation. And then when the Revised Roman Empire rises, the Christians will be asking, Lord, what is it? They'll be wondering like Habakkuk, what is it for? And the same answer we must understand and comprehend. That two good things are going to happen. One is the internal good, where we are required to rise up within ourselves. Even in this day and age, do you notice that unless you have strong principles, you easily compromise? Look at the many marriages that are breaking up, so that it is beginning to creep among Christianity and among the church. It's unheard of about 10-20 years ago, almost, in our Asian culture. Divorces were not common. Today it's getting more and more common. Look at it creeping. Society begins to accept it. Before we see marriage as a permanent thing. No more. The thinking has begun to change. So we realize that to be good, you really have to have strong principles. And believe in strong principles. It's not going to be that easy. But it's going to build strong character within us. As the days get darker, the stars shine brighter. But the second good is going to be as powerful. Just as Jesus manifested in the Roman Empire and the entire world comes to know Jesus through the ministry of the church in the apostolic days, in the revised Roman Empire, boundaries are going to be extended. And it will be easy for the gospel to go forth in that last great move. At the same time. Hallelujah. Just as God, it looks as if God planned the Roman Empire just for the Apostle Paul to go around preaching. And it looks like God's going to allow and permit and plan that 10 revised, the rise of the 10 horns, the revised Roman Empire. So the gospel can go forth. Remember these words. When in the future, we know it has not happened yet, but when in the future, when you see that happening, remember these words and take heart. And of course, the second part in verse 12 to verse 17 of chapter 1, Habakkuk. Do you notice the typology is also important in verse 14? Why do you make men like fish of the sea, like creeping things that have no ruler over them? They take up all of them with a hook, they catch them in their net, and gather them in their drag net. Chapter 1 is one eschatological period. Chapter 1 is pre-rapture. The eschatological period called the pre-rapture. When the church will still be around. And we will also experience what we call the dragnet experience. Besides the rise, there are two things predicted by Habakkuk in his eschatological application. One, the rise of the spirit of Babylon, which in our eschatological application is a revised Roman Empire. In Habakkuk's days, it was the actual Babylonian kingdom. The second eschatological prediction was the dragnet experience. What is the dragnet? The dragnet is the gospel going forth. All the world, which will take place at the same time. It will take place simultaneously, concurrently, with the rise of the Roman Empire, which is possibly the days we live in, and this decade and the next few decades, if there are the next few decades. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. Verse 47 to 52. The parable of the dragnet applies to the last days, not to the early days, not to the apostolic age. In the early book of Acts, but it applies to our times, the last of the last days. Matthew 13, verse 47 to 52. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet, and was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore. And they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. You know, Jesus says it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Now, we did a study on wailing.